Guten Tag, herzlich willkommen zum Podium Female Trekkies, IT-Startups von Frauen. Ich freue mich, dass Sie heute hierher gekommen sind. Das Internet ist sicherlich der Ort für mutige und kreative Unternehmer. Viele von Ihnen werden wissen, dass es bei Startups in Deutschland die Situation gibt, dass 90% der Startups von Männern gegründet werden, Frauen also deutlich unterrepräsentiert sind. Warum das so ist und wie man diesem Problem begegnen kann, damit beschäftigt sich auch die Initiative D21, für die ich als Pressesprecherin arbeite. Und ich freue mich sehr, dass ich das heute mit drei wirklich außergewöhnlichen Unternehmerinnen diskutieren kann, die selbst IT-Startups gegründet haben und erfolgreich darin sind und sich auch darin engagieren, potenzielle Gründerinnen zu motivieren und zu engagieren, um sich zu trauen, ein Unternehmen im Internet zu gründen. 2012 hat sich eine junge Frau, die in Basel in der Schweiz bei der Wirtschaftsförderung arbeitete, ganz bewusst dazu entschlossen, mutig zu sein, Fehler zu machen. Sie ist nach Berlin gezogen und heute, 2 Jahre später, unterstützt sie junge Gründerinnen darin, ihren Weg zu gehen. Bitte begrüßen Sie mit mir die CEO von wefound.org, Walrat Shiva.
Können Sie mich hören? Ah ja, super, perfekt. Es freut mich, euch alle hier zu sehen. Sehr wunderschöne Gesichter und sehr funkelnde Augen.
Gut, und das Mikro funktioniert. Ja, das Unternehmen, das mein nächster Gast gegründet hat, macht unsere Konsumlandschaft hier in Deutschland schon seit 8 Jahren sehr, sehr viel netter. Ist aber viel mehr. Es ist ein Sprungbrett für mittlerweile wahrscheinlich hunderte kreativer Karrieren. Bitte begrüßen Sie mit mir die Gründerin von Davanda, Frau Claudia Helming.
Danke, danke, danke. Hallo.
Frauen in der IT-Branche zu fördern, hat sich auch mein nächster Podiumsgast zur Aufgabe gemacht. Bitte begrüßen Sie mit mir die Gründerin von Geek Girls Carrots aus Warschau, Frau Camilla Sidor. Ich hoffe, es ist uns heute Morgen erst bewusst geworden, dass wir dieses Podium zum Teil in englischer Sprache halten müssen, da Frau Sidor kein Deutsch spricht. Ich hoffe, das ist für alle im Saal in Ordnung. Ja, ansonsten, falls es Bedarf gibt an Übersetzungen, bitte per Handzeichen bekannt machen. Gut, meine Einstiegsfrage ist ganz simpel. Warum, aus der Praxis gesehen, warum gibt es so wenige Frauen, die Startups gründen und warum stagniert diese Zahl? Es gibt so viele Förderpreise, Fördermaßnahmen. Warum passiert nichts? Frau Helming, vielleicht können Sie gleich anfangen.
So when I arrived here today, I actually learned that things are not the same everywhere. So apparently Germany is much, well, less developed than our neighbors in Poland, Poland and Russia. So, but I think the two of you will say a few words about your country. So I think, and that demonstrates that it's simply a cultural thing. And I don't think we have a culture that encourages entrepreneurship in general. Neither for men that much, and I think this is something that would need to be started in school, in universities, and when I just look back, I mean, for me it was really coincidence that I founded a startup. I never thought about founding a company. It was totally out of my thoughts, and it just happened because a lot of things came together, but it was definitely not my plan. And I think I went to something called Berufsberatung since the age of 14 because my parents insisted on that and I was there every year. And if I hadn't chosen to do some studies that would lead to unemployment, I would probably not be here today. So,
yeah. So you're saying the reason the Berufsberatung is, It's an organization that tries to help people find their way and find the right job. So if the you're saying if the Berufsberatung hadn't encouraged you to study Romanistik, which I have
they
as
didn't.
Well.
They didn't. They didn't. They told, no, no, no. They told me become a teacher or study law. And then I studied to become a teacher for 3 months. And then I thought, okay, I need to do something, not to run into that risk to become a teacher and change to Romanistik. Yeah.
So maybe that is just, that's the core of the problem. Maybe Val, you can say something about that too.
Yeah, I think we have here something similar. So I think we're speaking English now,
yes.
Right? So
Thank you.
I also
appreciate.
I also started studying teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't my decision, that was a decision of my parents. Mm-hmm. And then I changed it later when I kind of understood that this is my life, that I want to leave that. It's not my parents who must leave that. Back to your question. You ask, why is there a number of female startups stagnating? I think this is the general trend that the number of entrepreneurs German-wide stagnate. And I think it has something to do with the economic development. I mean, because there was the crisis and things like that that we had to experience 2008. And according to the recent statistics, still only 4% of all high school graduates know what a startup is. That's that's very, very interesting number. Yeah, I was very shocked when I heard this. Though I would not agree with you about the number of female entrepreneurs, because here in Berlin, I see every day there are more and more women in the startup scene that are coming with business idea, and more women, for most of the young women who are just graduated. And they are maybe not really, how do you say, satisfied with the current economic situation and their working standards of their old companies and the old economy. So they want to try themselves somewhere. And here in Berlin, we have, for example, RubyCap. We have very young female entrepreneur whose name is Astrid. She's the founder of Twindly. Then we have Anna Yukika, who's founder of Ecotastic, and. So there are more and more women coming in. So this is my opinion. Yeah, and I think there is a great future, and I think there will be even more female entrepreneurs. And this has to do something with their with the new generation of women who have different, social frames and different education. And so, for example, today there are more female graduates than men graduates, for example.
So can you, this is very interesting. Thank you very much view. Can you support that from your perspective? I mean, you're operating from Warsaw. Your network is international, but with a strong focus on Poland.
Yeah,
can you agree to this?
Yeah, I agree with Val that more women are interested in tech startups. I organize, my organization is Geekers Carrots, and we organize meetups in 15 Polish cities and in Berlin, Luxembourg, London, Seattle, New York, and Sydney. And what I see that more and more women are interested in a field, are interested in startups. I remember the first startup weekend in Poland. There were a few women. And now, a few months ago, one third of our attendees are women. So yeah, I think women are more interested in startups. And my organization is growing really fast. It means that girls are interested in IT and interested in start new technology project related to new technology projects. So I think it's growing, but I think we'll observe this trend slowly because new generation need role models. And we don't have role models now, so we have create, and we can have to speak about these girls like Claudia, And afterwards, girls will follow these role models. So it's a process. I think it's quite a long process that we have to start it and take care of it.
So how important are role models? You are both, you both have networks of women and try to encourage also women, probably like Claudia, who is already successful and established, to become mentors, if I understand right. So how important is this? What is the most effective or what would be the most effective way to encourage more women to found startups? Is it via role models, or is it a political? Do politics need to change something, or do women entrepreneurs need to become more visible as mentors?
I really think it's really a cultural thing, and in order to change something in culture, of course, you need to have role models, because otherwise, I mean, as long as women do not have really think it's really sexy to be an entrepreneur mm-hmm. and to found a company, and men think the same, that a woman who founds a company and who runs a company is not only a beast, but really a sexy woman, this will not change. It will never change. So, and in order to change that, yes, I think there need to be role models who sort of inspire other people of this being a life that is exciting, adventurous, and good, and a real alternative to just doing some studies and then having a family and having a good job, but nothing too dangerous. So I think, yes, this is really important.
Would you absolutely agree with that. Yeah,
you also, when we talked before, you said, I do not agree. In German you said, ich bin sehr unzufrieden mit der Frauenförderung in Deutschland. You do not agree how it's done, how women are encouraged at the moment. So what...
Yeah, I have like... this is my personal view, so everyone is here free to disagree. that when we kind of do want women to become entrepreneur, what we ask them is to become not ourselves, that is like being a man, like being like tough and really like, I don't know, punch them and things like that. So that's why it's getting scary for women, like, because it doesn't feel comfortable. And I think when we really find ourselves in our bodies, and start feeling comfortable with who we are, and be comfortable and confident with who I am and whatever experience I have. Like, you don't need to study, I don't know, 10 years to do marketing for your startup, for example. You can just sit down and check out the websites and just do that, you know, try that. And so that's very important, that we just be comfortable as women. And it's also it's good to know that as a woman you have advantages only when you get into the room of men. So I always hear complaints that it's kind of difficult when you get into the room of men and things like this. But I think, yes, of course, and it has to do, these fears that are coming to us, it has to do something with our upbringing, and this is not us. And I think we're much bigger with that, and we can use our female energy and female power to much bigger advantages for us.
Very, very good. Yeah, maybe that's also something to focus on, the positive aspects of this whole discussion. So what we also learned before was that, or what is interesting to me, is this the same? Are women the same in all the markets you have insights in? Do we all have the same problems? Or are women different in different societies, in different cultures?
Yeah, women are different and men are different. It depends on our character, skills and experience. So I would like to focus on on character, skills, and event and cultural background, not being a woman and man. Because if when we are focusing on being a man or woman, we segregate people and we perceive people first by gender, after that what they are doing. So I don't like it. So.
Yeah.
And you at the beginning asked about what politics can do for role models and how it can be supported by politics. I think it's really a question for ourselves what we can do to support women or support our people who are around us. And I think it's a question for ourselves. And I believe that we have to support each other and. Be a good parent, be a good teacher, be a good neighbor, be a good partner, and have permission to fail to other people, and don't say that you cannot do it because you are this or that. I don't like this talking that we have to take some part of the, I know, CEOs in public companies that should be women should take some specific percentage of seats. I believe
that's interesting. The Frauenquote.
Okay. I think it's we have to support people to gather some skills which are needed for this post and for this job. So I think we have to think about what we can do, how we can support and. And the second thing which I want to mention is, lastly, I watched an interview with Elizabeth Holmes. She's a female founder from Silicon Valley. She founded Theranos. It's a biotech company, and she said about her meeting with American Scouts. It's an organization for girls in America, and the mission of the this organization is to teach girls to be leaders. And she or someone else asked these girls who wants to be a tech leader, and none of them raised their hands. It means that these future female leaders, they don't see in a new technology field. And what Elizabeth Holmes said, that probably these girls don't have role models, so they cannot dream about being someone if they don't see in society the mothers, sisters, or, I don't know, grandmothers in this position. And the second thing what she Elizabeth Holmes said is that she never heard from her parents that you cannot do it because you are a girl. And I think it's worthy to remember that don't say people to not say people you cannot do it because you are a girl. You have to be teacher because you are a girl. It's better for your career or something like this. So I think we can do something by believing and doing supporting people.
I want to add here two things. And I think this discussion about role was very, very, very interesting. And of course, we women have different kind of it's different kind of thinking. I mean, and we are more emotional people and more emotional creatures. This is fine. And I think this is very interesting. We have you here, yeah. And as I said, one of the role models. You are the role. We are all of us role models because we're already sitting here. And we also invite. What we do, for example, if we organize events to inspire emerging female entrepreneurs. And what we really value is that we always get a female entrepreneur, a female. Speaker, because usually you don't see that much of the female speakers out there, and this is very inspiring to see that someone has just made this small step in direction of following your dream. And the second thing is that you have mentioned about responsibility, yeah. And of course, I think this is the problem of the whole society, that we always like say, oh, the politics is in charge of that, these people are in charge of that, this is in charge of that. So I'm such a victim. I'm such a victim, so let them do that. No, we are here to take the responsibility for myself, for my dream, and then we go.
But still, I think we need support from society, because we need this to feel a, you know, value part of society. So from one side, we have to find energy and, you know, strength in ourselves, in inner strength. And from another point, we need some support from society. And actually, we create communities to give this support for people.
So we create this society, that's true. First, we find the inner power that drives us, and then we can gather the people around us, yeah?
But, you there know, is kind of a discuss, new society. Maybe first society should be, you know, give you power to think about it something, a dream about something.
Because yeah, we are I think your point, and I think it's also like the girls' upbringing has to do, and how we think and how we limit ourselves has to do something with society. But at the end of the day, you cannot always like blame those guys, you know, who are bad. This is you, and you have to take the responsibility. And I think everything like in the world can be changed only from within, from yourself. This is my personal opinion. Of course, you can all disagree.
What do you think? You have you have 160 employees, and I'm sure you also foster them or encourage them to do. I mean, that's what Davanda does: is encourage creative people to find out if their business ideas work. It offers a platform. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure also for the women that are working for you, you're a role model. Mm-hmm. But is there, apart from you just, you know, being and showing, and is there anything that you would like politics to do?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think education, as I mentioned before, I think about entrepreneurship is something that should start in school. But I think even more importantly, I think, well, the question is it politics first, or is it society first, or is it culture first? Mm-hmm. So, and here in Germany, I mean, we're very, very protective about motherhood, families, etc. And I'm not against it, but it's just we do not reward, for example, women who go back or come back to work very early after birth. Not at all. It's actually, it's banned, and it's still we still have an attitude of thinking, at least, you're a really bad mother if you go back to work after, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Whereas in France, for example, this is totally normal, but here it's like really a crime almost. And also financially, this is rewarded much more than women coming back to work early, because they it doesn't make any financial sense for any woman here in Germany to go back to work early after having given birth. It's much better financially to stay at home for a while. And I think this tells you a lot about how society thinks and what a society wants to be. And so for this topic, I really think it's a question what society wants to be, and politics will follow afterwards. But I don't think there's any pressure from society or from women, of course not, to change this, because it's a very comfortable situation, of course, and it's understandable. But in a way, in Germany, we haven't found really a solution of how to bring everything together, family, kids, job, or entrepreneurship. We don't have it. So it's either or. It's never something that can be combined, really, or hardly ever.
I have a question. I have a question of how we can, how do you people approach usually when you have a problem? So I, for example, how I approach the problem. So there is a problem, it exists. So, okay, so there is one way that we can do is that to say, hey guys, they created their problem, this is their problem. But the other hand, hey guys, we are the part of this problem because it concerns us. And what we need to do is simply, what we need to do now is to take responsibility, to go for our dreams, and to shout out and say to these people, hey, I want you to have both of things. Enough. You need to take care of me because I'm paying your money. I'm paying your taxes.
But then if you're not rewarded for it, you know, if you're not, that's maybe a big problem. If you're not rewarded for being an entrepreneur as a woman, for having this mindset.
Yeah, this is the thing, how you perceive things and rewarding. Like, you can on one thing perceive this, how society rewards me, or what I want to, how I reward me, and what is more sustainable for yourself. So for me, it's more sustainable when I'm rewarding myself and it feels right for me now to do that, rather than see, oh, this is like, okay, it does not reward me. Of course, this I see absolutely the point. I see absolutely the problem. And my, for example, my younger sister, she has I'm an aunt, and my younger sister has a 1.5 month old baby, and I help her at the very beginning. And she's a graphic designer, freelance graphic designer, and she's trapped now as a mother in her one apartment, because like it's difficult to find a kindergarten. Like she really wants to go and like hey, as she says, hey Avella, I want to paint my pictures, I want to do new portfolio and things like that, but like it's too much, I'm not finding the time, you know. And the problem is this, but the thing is like, yeah, it's we can complain in like, how do you say, separately, or we get together and start shouting out and like be, I don't know, say, hey guys, this is the future of our economy, because we are women, we are the future of economy. Because every even working person starts with a female.
Actually, I look at this at this issue a little bit different. I think that we have to. I believe in choose that we have to. It's really good to have that everyone can choose something, and that there are many possibilities. And if I want to be mother, it's really good to have this opportunity to be a mother, and you know, to stay at home and feel good with this. And have this opportunity, if I want to go to work, I can go for work. And everyone can choose what is good for him or her. Mm-hmm. And the society accepts this and supports this. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if we are working with someone, we are judged by skills, experience, character, not if we are women, men, with kids, mm-hmm. non-kids, mm-hmm. that so I think we have to just fight for the right for everyone to have the same range of possibilities in a society, and and feel good with this. And
so where's the fighting happening, like within networks? Because right now, as I understand, for a lot of men, like being starting your own enterprise, starting your own business, starting with a startup, is a good way to combine family and job.
Yeah, I still
for men, you know, that's what I see. But apparently, for women, it's not this option or this choice, that this could be a good way to combine family and
No. That's different. I think we have like almost 300,000 people selling mm-hmm. on our website, and it's mostly women. So it's like 90% or 80% are women. And for many of them, it either started as a passion or just as a dream to be self-employed and do what you're really passionate for. So, for example, becoming a fashion designer or knitting, whatever. So they really dream of having maybe a very small business with just one or two employees, but really doing what they dream of. Mm. And it's a dream for them, not only because they do what they really want to do, it's also a dream because they can create a situation for them and their families that allows them to have both. Because they can sort of say or determine themselves that they work so many hours at these and these times from home or from anywhere. So actually, I think this was one of the reasons why we had a really huge success in Germany quite easily, is because it was really for many women the perfect solution and the answer on how to have both. Actually, a professional life that is fulfilling. And the freedom to have a family. So,
That's great. What would you, so Davanda did for sure help a lot of women also to follow their career and do what they like to do. What would you, if you had a wish, you know, now the new year starts and it's 2015, it's very young. If you could wish for something to happen in this year, what would you want to happen?
In this year, in general?
In this, no.
You mean
for women, like for women. to improve the situation for women, to make it easier, more attractive for women.
Make it more attractive, make not it, make easier, it more because
attractive
it's easy.
For women to become entrepreneurs.
What would I wish for? I think, make it more attractive cannot be achieved within 1 year. But I think there are so many bits and pieces that just need to come together to form something really big. And I think it's about, it's not that far away. And there's, for example, unfortunately, I have forgotten their name, but there's one organization in Berlin that really goes into schools, goes to schools and talks, to boys and girls about possibilities to really found their company, and they make exercises, etc. And it apparently works out really great, and they're very enthusiastic. And they do that actually in schools that are rather difficult from a social perspective. And so if I could wish one thing, this would be that this organization just becomes really, really big, has a lot of success, and can do that nationwide.
Very good.
That's very good. I also agree that it's the entrepreneurship shall start from the very early age, because this is where you learn things about failures and about yourself. And entrepreneurship is about like being comfortable with failures. And this is what we don't learn. And I haven't learned that either. And I have to learn. I'm still learning this now while I'm doing this. And that's, I have to say, this is very difficult things, and I wish it would be easier for me. But then I have what I have, and I need to learn that, because sometimes it feels really difficult. It's very easy to get into negative self-talk, which is, oh, I have done that, and this is so bad. For example, yesterday I was super in a depressive mood, only because I started seeing things. I started punishing myself for making mistakes. And then I caught myself saying, hey, Val, stop that. You did the best thing that you ever do. And now you need to make the best out of that. That's it. That's the whole story. And then it was good. And this is where absolutely we need to start from a very young age, to learn people to be comfortable with their wishes, like with your dreams, with failures.
It's really funny because yesterday I had a thought that I didn't fail enough. That actually I'm afraid to fail. I need to risk more to go further and push some barriers. And yeah, yesterday I had a thought that I have to fail more this year. And I think when women will take a risk and they will just have a space for failure, they will find out that they big power and strength to do it, and they will more self-confident, and with confidence you can do many, many things, many projects you can start, and you can learn during doing things and just trying. I wish for women to fail more.
Yeah, I have one more wish besides to fail more. Is what I wish to happen this year is to happen myself, to happen yourself. What do you think? Like to happen me, to happen myself. That means that I mean to really sit down and think what is important for me now, and simply start pursuing what is important for yourself every day, more, and then you see that with the time the miracles happen to you.
So you are encouraging women to become more egocentric?
No, I would not say egocentric. Like there is, to my approach, there is like ego and yourself.
Okay.
There are two different things. So what are we leaving now, to my perspective, like most of the people, and I leave also that every day, is my ego. These are the limits that I learned from myself. But there is another is yourself, which is that really feels right in your heart. This is the only description I can say. This really feels right for you now to do and feels right for you in your heart.
Very good. So, thank you very much. There was a question from back there. Hello.
My name is Tamara Ensley. I'm an interview correspondent and running such a startup here in Berlin. Thank you for sharing your ideas.
You're very welcome.
Also, there was no political program that helped me, and I was also not even looking for any of that. So what really helped me, helped us, was actually the scene in Berlin, which back when we started was, about to be born in a way, and the openness of the internet scene in general, I think, helped a lot. So it went really quickly that we were connected with really lots of people, with business angels, etc. And that was the most helpful thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wishes?
School. I think it's I think it's about. School should help children not only to learn stuff they need for life, but also help them to discover their talents and their dreams. And I think this is part of it. And do not really do a lot there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How to say this? for me, doing this step first was myself, and also seeing that. Believing and saying, okay, this could be possible, so I may want to try this out. And then it started, and I saw that there are many people doing this, and I say, oh, they kind of made it, you know, so maybe I'm not that bad, so I also can try and make it. And whatever else would happen, I can still go and, like, I don't know, work somewhere else and be employed. And I know there is, in Berlin, there is... like Weiberwirtschaft, Bundes Gründerinnenzentrale, glaube so heißen die. They give their advices for women who want to become selbstständig, also freelancers or self-employed. This is absolutely. I think they are very helpful, and they have good support. Bless you.
I'm sorry.
That's very fine. right, and I think there is also like Gründerzuschüsse and things like that. You can get some kind of you can apply for amount of money to consult yourself. I think this is from KfW or like things like this, and KfW gives you also like credits at low zins. Though for myself, I never use that. I don't know why. Like when we started, is that we are gemeinnützige UG. This is like a non-profit company, right? And when we have started, I tell my story that I. When we were running in the summer, running out of money, yeah, we pick up the phone and call some of the governmental structures, but there was really not really very helping response and not very encouraging. And the response was that, hey guys, Berlin is not very rich city, and then there are lots of organizations who are doing this and that, so the money is very knapp, and we say, okay, so we'll give it a try, we know what the situation is, and the only thing is now to to rely on ourselves. And in what we have built now, it's like we are running now 1 year, and we have built like an European-wide community with more than 3,000 people, and we have represented Copenhagen, Vienna, and Zurich. And that was made also only by ourselves, by like saying, oh, okay, it's fun, I want to do that now, whatever happens, and let's just see. So how was it for you? Maybe I will just ask Camila how she started that. Did she have some like government support and things like that?
Actually, I got support from networking. I found out people who are like me. I went out and go for some meetups, tech meetups, and I found my people. So I think it's really good advice if you are like doing something, or you are want to see what's going on in this field, you have to go for some meetup. Find on meetup.com the meetup and just go there and see what's going on there. Meet people, ask them, and so on. So it's the first thing. Just networking.
It doesn't absolutely, I agree
with
that.
It doesn't matter, who organized this. Just looking for your topic. So, and I did it, and I found it my people. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I have great support from my boyfriend. First, he believed in me and he supported me, and I think it's a great thing to find people, close people, family, boyfriends, girlfriends, friends, who believe you, support you, and if you are on down, they say, hello, let's go for a beer, don't worry, tomorrow will be a better day, and so on. So I think people who are around us are really important. And the first thing, I took a risk. I just took a risk. And without this, you cannot succeed. You have to check, and you have to fail before a few times to know that you have to learn something. And I'm this kind of person. I learn by doing something. I'm not interested in the reading a manual or instruction. I'm really bad at it. I have to go and do things. And go find your people, find people who can support you, and try do something. And it's my way, and I can recommend you. Maybe it's not for everyone, but I think it's worth it to just
I 100% agree with you.
So yeah. This is much more helpful. Networking helps much more than prices and programs, because we see a lot, as you mentioned, a few here in Berlin. So there are a lot of initiatives to support women and encourage women. But so as I understand, networking is what is most important.
Actually, I really like these initiatives, because it's ecosystem. And what's really important ecosystem, that everyone can find something from themselves. If you have 1,000 organizations, it means that more women will find exactly what they are looking for. Absolutely. So I think I really like that we Giggers Carlos are operating here in Berlin, and in Berlin there are a few really similar organizations. It means that you girls, you women, you can find something for yourself, something perfect for yourself. So I really like it. And I think it means that more women will use it and take advantage of this.
I absolutely agree. Like for every startup, I think maybe you can also say that it's very important you network at the very beginning.
That's what I said.
Yeah, without network, there are no business. Network, like WeFone is also a female entrepreneurs network, and Geekers Cares is a network for IT.
For women in
for
IT.
IT industry. Yeah. And I think this is it's very helpful to see and go to these networks, and because you meet their real people. who can really help you. And those people who have done things and they failed and they know how it works. And they can give you advice and they can say, hey, this is the partner you can look for. Hey, this is I can connect you to this person. This is how you work. You go to network, you meet people, it's like win-win situation. You do something nice for them, they do something nice for you, and you help everyone, you connect, and you go further.
And you ask about politics, what we can wish. Actually, I have maybe my future project. I want to media to write and talk less about celebrities, more about successful female founders. For example, for 1 month, we just give a lot of information about them, and we'll see what will change with young generation. Maybe they will start dreaming about being a tech founder, not being a singer, model, or actress. And I think we can change people's minds in society by showing them some examples.
Very well. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Female rapper, and she said, it's because women are not expected to be aggressive and they are not really engaged. You don't want them to be aggressive, and maybe that's why they don't rap. And I'm talking about aggression maybe in a positive sense. And would you say that that's part of your skill set too, that you live with a little bit of aggression in a positive sense maybe, to have an idea and you have to compete with other ideas and you have to show that your ideas work? Being part of the company, so this expectation of aggression.
Okay, women are aggressive. Women are aggressive.
Yeah,
exactly. It depends what kind of entrepreneur you are. You can be a social entrepreneur with some social mission as well. So
can you be nice and successful?
Yeah, of course you can. I think it's many role models, and yeah, we see only one model of successful entrepreneur, but there are many, and I think it's really worth to talk about it and show that there are many ways to be successful, rich, beautiful, sexy, and I know, give an impact to the world.
Yeah, I think an entrepreneur needs to have the willingness and the power to get things done. So it's just somebody who sits there and says, let's see how it goes, it will not happen. So there's a certain aggressiveness is necessary. But I think this can be something that is not very extroverted, can also be rather introverted, and I don't know. So I mean, there are, let's say, when I started and even today, so I mean, there are these blogs who always describe the typical founder, what should a founder or an entrepreneur look like, be like, etc. And I noticed quite quickly that in terms of aggressiveness, so I think that in general, I'm probably, when I want something, I can be quite aggressive. I'm not typically an aggressive person. I'm rather introverted, calm, etc. And I thought to myself, okay, this, I don't know. And especially when meeting investors, that's sort of also the kind of person they, most of them expect to see, because they want to see somebody where they can believe in that this person is going to get what he or she wants. And some certain aggressiveness is helpful to have to get this image. But I think you can also do with a little less aggressiveness and get what you want. But I think you need to have some steam.
Yeah. I think you need belief in your product, and you have to know that you can deliver this. So it's not always connected with aggressiveness. It's sometimes just you believe so strongly, so you go for it with this means or another means. And It's not always about aggressive.
Yeah, I would ask how is aggressiveness defined? So as you see, this is one person, this is the second one, the second person. This person is an entrepreneur, I don't know, and this person is believing in himself or herself, and she just does what feels right for her. I mean, like setting boundaries, going, be goal-oriented. And for her, she is doing something out of love. And there is a person who is saying, oh, because, I don't know, this person have kind of a, I don't know, his personal program, and he's saying, oh, this person is aggressive and things like that. This is fine. I mean, whatever else you want to call it.
So we have another question.
Maybe I can contribute the dinosaur perspective. Mm-hmm. to be quite honest, I mean, I'm 50, totally upfront. I've always had senior positions at work. I'm not an entrepreneur, but I've had quite sort of demanding jobs, let's say it like that. And I've got two children as well. So, and I'm a single mom, maybe I'm just on top there. Yeah. I often surprises me these discussions about aggressiveness in women, because to be totally honest, I think there's nobody more aggressive, if needed, is always the addition, than a woman who has to get the family through life. We are not these kind of women. I've had far more hopeless folks in my life than hopeless women. And I don't mean this with any disrespect, by the way. Yeah. But I have a big, I mean, I'm sort of, maybe this is sort of, I'm lost for it, but I have got a big hope, because I noticed that in young people, and I don't just mean women, I mean guys as well, people today define career differently to what they did when I left school. When I left school, I think career was, you got a really great job, a high-flying job, you were basically some person in a suit with a big fat paycheck at the end of the month. I think today, this whole generation-wide discussion shows that as well, career is defined as what you said, I'm doing what makes me happy. And if I do what makes me happy, then that is a brilliant career, actually, because it's the best you can get out of life. Yeah? Whether that is working at a filling station, having your own startup, or whatever the heck you choose you want to have in your life. I mean, that's and I really do think that is the biggest cultural change which sort of helps people to start their own thing. But I would really have one question for you all, because you're, I don't know, how many of you have families, kids?
I don't have kids.
Okay, because I would really be interested to get a perspective about women starting their own things at a later age in life. Because obviously there is a huge talent pool, which in Germany is completely ignored, as you said. Yeah? I mean, there are all these brilliantly educated women struggling to have children and maybe who actually could do a lot more. And I'm wondering, do you get women who are not 20 but maybe 50?
Yes, yes, it's
a good question. Yeah.
Actually, most of our community is around 30. Most of our people in our community are in 30s.
Okay.
But we have these stories with Renata. She is going to be retired for 1 year. And now she started learning programming because she wants to set up her own online shop. She dreamed about it and she started to programming because she wants to have own e-commerce. So yes, we have these stories. And she's like just learning and starting something new. And she's 50-something, so. Yes, we have, but actually, most of our communities are, they are at the 30s.
Yeah, this is absolutely the Generation Y story, and
But I think for you, it's really good if you feel this need that it has to be done. You can start something, find colleagues and just set up meetup, see what's going on, who is interested in the topic, and support each other, motivate each other, inspire each other, and I think it's a really good point.
Yeah, so for us it's the same. Most of them are somehow between 30 and 40 when they sort of decide to be self-employed, but it's most of the times it's in a situation where they have small kids, so it's not like, let's say, they go to work and then think of my life could be like this and that. It's I think this is also a cultural thing that is going to change, that at 50 or something, you still can create a new company or just change your life. It's just, it has been maybe in the last hundreds of years, not something that has been done too often, but I mean, today at 50, everybody's still young, or you're still young, so it's not like...
With experience and with and you don't have small kids, so probably you have more time.
Oh yeah, I mean...
grown up now.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely agree, this is a huge reserve, yeah. There is, like, we also have women coming to us who are like, we have already kids who are grown up, and they want to, it's the time for them to look back and say, I have time for myself, and I know to figure out, just to carry out myself, yeah. And of course, the younger generation had them different, different environment, they have different frames, and that's why they're like more active in that. And I think this is maybe this is a new idea to start something like a community for women who are
actually I think what Val mentioned before, that really often if you are like this, media are really interested in that, you know, some not typically group do something. Like if you started a community for women 50 plus, for, you know, startuppers in this age, probably media will be more interested in this community than in our communities. So you can win the media, you know.
See, I don't actually think it's an age issue, because I've met totally bored
20-year-olds. Yes, absolutely.
One of my best friends at 70 is just planning what
Yeah, of course.
And I know of, there are a lot of young people who want to be teachers precisely because it's a cushy number. So I don't think it's more personality.
And I think it's very interesting. I've been thinking of that also already since... I don't know, 6 months, that we have on the one side the young women who are this asking and are very courageous, and the other end we have women who are experienced and also courageous enough, and they are experienced and they have their different mindsets, but when you bring them together they are very complementary. And this is very interesting thing, and I think this is worth to discover it, how to bring these two generations to work together and maybe exchange dreams and experiences and help each other.
Well, this is great. Thank you very much for bringing up a business idea out of this in this discussion. I would like to develop this further with you very much, but we have to come to an end, because the next Podiumsdiskussion is on your agendas. It's the final wrap-up with all the panel talks, and I would like to invite you very much in the name of the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung to join this talk as well. Thank you very much here in this circle for coming. Thank you all for listening to this panel talk in English as well, and thank you very much. If you have more questions, I'm sure they will all be around.
Thank you.
Thank you.